The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where every week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom. Do you ever wonder how your money and the stuff you own is actually helping you live out what you really feel called to in your heart? You know, there's so much peace of mind that comes when you sense that your money is aligned with your values and convictions, as well as your financial goals. And there's really, really peace of mind when you know deep down that your financial goals are in sync with your values and convictions. And there is so much potential, really, for anxiety when you can sense that your money is not aligned with your values and convictions.
It's easier said than done. There's so much financial information coming at us every minute of every day. It can actually be overwhelming. Terminology, ideas and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services. Keeping all of this information straight can be downright confusing, possibly even scary.
Yeah, and when you're confused or scared, you just plain old don't make good decisions, right? And that can keep you from being all that God wants you to be. It can hurt you pretty badly as well. Welcome to episode six? Oh my goodness,
yep.
Six. Wow, it seems like we just started yesterday. But welcome to episode six of Money in Mission. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio. Each week, in the first part of our show, we will talk about some current financial events so you'll have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean.
And then partway through the show, we get to one of my favorite things, and that is our weekly puzzler. Yeah, a weekly puzzler is a brain teaser. It's a puzzle that we share with you. We don't know if the puzzler will actually be interesting to you. We sort of gauge that by whether Joe, you know, is giving us a, hey, that's good, guys, or if he's sitting over there rolling his eyes, right?
We see the head shake. We're like, oh, no.
That's right. But it's interesting to us anyway, so we'll share it with you partway through the show. But we do want to start with our week in review and just looking at financial news, right? Stuff that's happening. Oh, my goodness, this was an incredible week so far, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, it was. And actually, last night, there was a presidential debate.
Yeah, if you can call it a debate, I suppose, right? I mean, really, no matter which side of the aisle you happen to be on politically, the outcome of any election really can... It makes a difference on government policy, and government policy has the ability to drive market activity.
That's right.
And that makes a difference, whether it's raising or lowering interest rates or some other, you know, policy that plays out in the way government spends money. It makes a difference in how investments are priced. And that tends to make a difference in what shows up on our investment statements. So if the government spends a lot of money in one sector or another, you know, I mean, really, when Democrats are the primary influence, then certain sectors of the economy tend to have money spent. And when Republicans are then also, you know, the prevailing thought process, then money gets spent in different ways. And where money goes, that creates revenues, and those revenues create profits. And so elections make a difference, mm-hmm. Like that. I saw an interesting story. This is kind of switching topics a little bit. I saw an interesting story in the Wall Street Journal. Walgreens planning to close stores, major U.S. stores in play here. And recently, of course, Walgreens stock just tumbled. They didn't mention a specific number of stores. The article just says a significant number of stores is planning to be closed.
Wow. Yeah, and that's on top of Rite Aid's problems, right?
Oh, my goodness. Tell me.
They're currently in New Jersey court right now seeking approval for its bankruptcy plan.
Yeah.
Do you think that will impact the delivery of pharmaceutical products throughout the country?
It will kind of seem that way.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, it feels like it's easy to go online and, you know, get the pharmaceuticals that we need. So whether it makes a big impact in terms of the availability of pharmaceuticals or not, I suppose, remains to be seen.
Right.
It sure feels good to just be able to hop on the internet and order whatever we want and have it be available very shortly.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And of course, you know, Rite Aid and Walgreens are not the only retailer in that space, right?
Mm-hmm.
CVS Pharmacy is a big, big store with like 9,000 different stores. Bigger is not always better, of course, but it seems like CVS, one article I read recently here just said that CVS is working at using artificial intelligence to improve the in-store customer experience and probably the online ordering stuff as well.
Yeah, I was looking into that as well, and it looks like they're having AI-powered chatbots and virtual assistants are being used to answer questions and provide information about products and services. Also looking through, it sees that AI is being explored to analyze customer data and provide personalized product recommendations based on individual health needs and preferences. They're trying to leverage these tools to be more efficient and add values to consumers.
Yeah, so whatever you think about artificial intelligence, when it's used in a good way like that, it sure does make life easier, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Yeah, it does. Well, did you see that FedEx is buying out UPS?
No, I did not see that.
The new company is going to be called FedUp.
Yeah, we all are, aren't we?
Yeah, okay. I just made that up. Anyways, don't go looking for that, you know, in
Wait, are they really buying UPS or
No, they're not buying. FedEx is not buying UPS. I just made that up. But it was fun, whatever. You know, the new company is called FedUp. Seriously though, FedEx is, they announced they're spinning off their freight unit into a separately publicly traded company,
mm-hmm.
like that. So there's now going to be an identifiable freight unit, you know, like that, where there wasn't one before.
Hmm. Interesting.
For whatever reason, I really didn't read into that story too deeply, but it played along with the Fed up, right? You know, FedEx and UPS, right? Okay, we'll stay focused and keep things on track. Australia, all the way on the bottom side of the globe, right? Here's a Wall Street Journal article talking about how Australia is tightening regulations on supermarkets.
Yes.
It seems that there's a concern that large Australian supermarkets have too much leverage over their smaller competitors and even their suppliers.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that here in the past. There are two major supermarket chains, Coles and Woolworths.
Mm-hmm.
They control a staggering 80% of the Australian grocery market share.
80%.
Yes. And that level of concentration is known as a duopoly, and it raises significant concerns about fair competition and consumer choice.
A duopoly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
not a monopoly.
Monopoly.
Correct.
Yeah. I love playing Monopoly. Right? Nobody wants to play with me.
You probably normally win and take all the properties.
I do. That's right. But anyway, well, yeah, so a duopoly just happens when there's two that really control, mm-hmm. And that's apparently the experience in Australia.
And it affects, you know, down the line, right?
Customers, right? Competitors,
mm-hmm.
suppliers.
Right.
Right. Customers would be like down the line. Suppliers would be up the line. And I guess competitors would be the next line over.
It would be horizontal.
Horizontal, mm-hmm. yeah, however that's described.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, those smaller suppliers, they often face immense pressure to meet the demands of these dominant supermarkets. This can result in them accepting lower prices for their products, reducing their profit margins, and potentially impacting the quality of goods available to consumers.
Yeah, so apparently the government, the Australian government, is getting involved to try to spread out the playing field a bit and just make sure there's more competition in that grocery store space.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, you know, sometimes you think that we only have problems here in the States, and there's other countries that are dealing with things too.
And right? They are right now.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, something maybe we'll hit more on this next week as well, but violence over in the Middle East is causing supply chain issues and congestion in the Red Sea and the Suez Canal area.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose we hear about supply chain. I guess the other week we were talking about trade deficits and how we're buying so much stuff from overseas. And so all of a sudden, when we're buying all this stuff from overseas, then when things happen that interrupt the flow of supplies, then it causes price interruptions here, mm-hmm. can lead to more inflation and so on and so forth. But according to the New Zealand Foreign Affairs and Trade Office, more than 12% of all global trade goes through the Suez Canal.
Yeah, that's a lot. I've seen that. And also I noticed that they said about 7 to 10% of the world's oil supply is transported through the Suez Canal. So disruptions in this region can cause immediate spikes and even send shockwaves throughout global markets.
Yeah. One article noted that on average about 50 ships, and we're not talking about like that little boat that you see going around in the Chesapeake Bay or something, big mm-hmm. ships. 50 of these ships go through the Suez Canal every single day.
Mm.
Wow, that's just enormous. The Suez Canal in recent years has had 4 times the amount of shipping that goes through the Panama Canal.
Four times. Wow.
Wow, it's just enormous.
That's a lot of
money. Anyway, let's talk more about that next week. I don't know why.
Sure.
I'm kind of fascinated with shipping and what that looks like. So
yeah.
So we'll try to dig up some more notes on that.
Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish discussing about this week's topic. And stay tuned. You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where we are talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
Yep, and right across the table is Joe. Say hi, Joe. Actually, Joe's not here today, right? Because we're recording this in the conference room here at our office.
Mm-hmm. Joe is on vacation, I believe.
He's on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're listening and the next time you run into Joe, remember to ask him, how was vacation?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And Joe will probably wonder why in the world he ever connected up with us to run this radio show, right?
I think he's thinking that every week at this point.
He wonders that every week, right? Well, I'll tell you what. You know, if there is only one thing that you take away from today's show, it's that your ability to define success can either make you or break you.
That's right.
Right. Now, the definition of success really adds to that make or break, but your ability to define success can either make you or break you. This is a topic. It's just so important. It comes into so many different things that we do, sometimes that we don't even think about. But understanding and working with this idea of success It can either lead you to a spot where you feel a well-deserved sense of achievement, or if you don't have a good handle on success and what it means and how you understand it, I mean, you can wind up feeling defeated. You can feel inadequate. Mm-hmm. You can feel like things just aren't quite settled. And none of those lead you to a very good spot. In these feelings that you wind up having then influence the way you make decisions.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Decisions about money. Particularly, of course, we think about decisions of how you handle your investments, but probably other life decisions as well. If you own a business and you don't have a good handle on this idea of success, it can change the kind of business decisions you make. It helps to determine what kind of career you will pursue, how hard you're going to work, and whether you ever feel like you can stop working. All this stems out of really your understanding and how you feel about success. So the topic that we're talking about today is success, right? And more specifically right now, defining success and knowing what it means to actually be successful.
Yeah, and there's some interesting research on the psychology of success. Studies show that people who have a clear definition of success are more likely to achieve their goals, experience greater well-being, and even have better physical health as well.
That's right. Sometimes too, there's this kind of unwritten feeling and this unwritten question of whether it's even okay to be successful. Like, you know, does God want me to be successful? Mm-hmm. And we believe the answer is yes. You know, God created people in his image and put them here on this earth for a reason, and he wants them to be successful in that. So the feelings of success that we have, again, if we feel unsuccessful, we make decisions from that perspective. And if we feel successful, then we'll make decisions from that perspective. But we hear clients talking about this in different ways, where sometimes people will ask things like, do I have enough?
Mm-hmm. And that's common.
That's right. How do I know if I have enough? And of course, the driving feeling there is, will I run out of money?
Right.
Right. So to
be able to sustain through those retirement years.
That's right. So determining whether or not you have enough, clearly you have to know what it means. Success in that case means knowing how much you need.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people will ask questions like, am I doing as well as I should be? It's kind of implied that other people might be doing better than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to know that I'm measuring up to how everybody else looks at my age and stage of life.
Right.
Right. And that's kind of a tricky one. We'll be talking more later in the show today about questions to ask yourself in defining success, but looking over the fence to see whether or not everybody else is at the same spot or at a better or worse spot, that puts you in a very tricky spot.
It does.
Right. And because you could find that maybe you're doing just as well as everybody else, but if everybody else is failing, that's not going to be tremendously helpful for you,
right,
as well. So really having a good understanding of what it means for you to be successful is so, so, so important.
It is, and it's also worth noting that defining success is not a one-time thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dynamic process that can evolve over time as our values, priorities, and circumstances change. It's okay to revisit and define our definition of success as we grow and learn.
That's exactly right. I think back to, you know, remember some of those stories that we talked about a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Ursuline sisters.
Yes.
Tom Monahan. At one point, Tom Monahan was growing a pizza shop. But then, again, life unfolded and his definition of what he felt called to do and what he wanted to do changed.
It evolved, yep.
That evolved. Mm-hmm. And so what was successful when he started out with the pizza shop was not the same thing as being successful when he started Ave Maria University. So, yeah, so that's so important. There was a book that we bumped into some time ago. The book was written by a man named Tommy Newberry. The title of the book is Success is Not an Accident. And in this book, Tommy Newberry asks us, as the reader, he asks us to try to imagine throwing darts at a dartboard in a room where all the lights are turned off.
Mm. Yep.
Like, try to imagine that. The room is completely black, so you can't even see your hand in front of your face.
Probably not easy.
And you are throwing darts, and there's a dartboard somewhere in the room. You just have no idea where it's at. And so you just throw the darts. What do you think your chances of hitting the dartboard, let alone a bullseye,
mm-hmm.
right? Probably about zero, right? I mean, if you're in the dark and you eventually did hit the board, you would be lucky. No matter how you count it, you would be totally lucky,
sure.
right? Because it's completely dark. I mean, that's kind of like what...
Unless it's a closet, but...
right, where the dartboard was
right in front of you.
Right, boom, that's right. And you could just put it there. But this is what happens when you don't know what success, how you've defined success. Right. If you don't know where you're going, then any road will get you there. But by the time, let's stick with that completely dark room. If you turned on the lights and you gathered up a large supply of darts and maybe you got some coaching and you have invested enough time in practicing, then you would significantly increase the likelihood of hitting the dartboard. Right.
Yeah.
Now, if you finally did hit the bullseye, many people would still call you lucky, but you wouldn't be lucky, right?
No.
You would be, because you would have been willing to do the things that it took to actually hit the bullseye, and you would be following a plan. And when you define success, that is really the first step in sort of turning on the lights so you can see the dartboard and understand where the bullseye is.
Yeah, a clear definition of success can also help us make better financial decisions. For example, if someone defines success as financial independence, they might prioritize saving and investing over immediate gratification.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Whereas if somebody defines success as being very charitable and being able to give a lot away, mm-hmm. then again, that's a completely different destination point. So again, turning on or defining success is a lot like turning on the lights so you can see the dartboard, you can see where it is that you're headed, and then again, you can identify that. You know, if it's just you individually or your family or if you own a business, defining success is just so critical.
That's a good point.
Like that, yeah. Well, my goodness, we are almost out of time in this segment. We are up to the weekly puzzle.
Dun, da, da, da.
Dun, da, da. That's exactly right. Do you remember what last week's weekly puzzle was?
Yeah, this one actually stumped me. I wasn't able to figure this one out, and a little embarrassed about that, to be honest.
Oh.
Now after I know the answer.
After you know the answer, right.
But last week's puzzle was a lot of fun. And last week's puzzle was, what kind of cow hands out money and says, moo?
What kind of cow hands out money and says, moo?
I was like, come on. It's a cash cow.
A cash cow. That's right. Oh, my goodness.
I should have got that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we won't hold it against you, okay? And I think Joe got it figured out. All right, well, this week's puzzle, you have to get something out to write with, and I'll go through it really slow. So the question is this: whoever makes it does not tell, and whoever takes it doesn't know, and whoever knows it doesn't want it. What is it?
Interesting.
Yeah. Whoever makes it doesn't tell. Whoever takes it doesn't know. And whoever knows it doesn't want it. What is it? Send your responses to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we will read the correct answer to this puzzle on next week's show.
That's right. And we need to take a quick break. Stay tuned. You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we are talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And today we are talking about a topic that can either make you or break you. We are talking about defining and understanding success.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a question. How do you define success?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's even fascinating to consider how different cultures view success.
Mm-hmm.
In some cultures, it's about community and family, while in others, it's more individualistic and achievement-oriented.
Yeah. And that might, I mean, different cultures, that might even go into, say, different family systems.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. Where there's different definitions like that, or different religious traditions
mm-hmm.
can impact. And so different groups, yeah, like that can make a difference in terms of how this idea of success is viewed. In our first show here on Holy Family Radio 6 weeks ago, we talked about the stories of several different people,
mm-hmm.
right? We referenced Christopher Columbus. We referenced the Ursuline sisters, the founders of Catholic Charities,
mm-hmm.
Tom Monahan, Domino's Pizza, and what eventually then became Ave Maria University. And then a couple weeks ago, too, we were interviewing Samuel Kagundu from the Mercy School.
That's right, from Kenya.
That's right. And these are all examples of places where people had been doing things, but they all had different ideas and different visions of what this idea of success
and what that meant to them.
And what that really meant to them. That's right.
And those examples are interesting because they highlight how success can be measured in different ways, whether it's exploration, service to others, business growth. It really depends on what we value most.
That's right. Yeah. And it's an interesting self-reflective study to think and understand how it is that what we value actually develops into what we value. So the question is, as we think back on some of these examples, the examples we've shared so far, would you define those people as successful?
I would say yeah, right? They check their boxes. They achieve what they set out to accomplish and right. what was important to them.
Right. Now, Columbus, I mean, arguably.
Oops,
yeah.
He found something.
He found something, but maybe not what he originally thought it was.
That's right.
Yeah, it's interesting to think on that. We didn't really practice that question before just now.
Mm-hmm.
So whether Columbus was successful or not, I mean, he found something.
Sure.
For sure.
And there's a famous quote by Maya Angelou that I think speaks to the success is who you become definition.
Mm.
Success is liking yourself, liking what you do, and liking how you do it. And that's a reminder that success isn't just about external achievements, but also about personal growth and fulfillment.
Right.
And I think that's important.
It is important. It causes us to, you know, I guess raises the question of what if I don't like what I'm doing, or what if I don't like myself? Does that mean I'm not successful? We can open these cans of worms, right? That's right. but it's important, because sometimes those feelings, again, they come in and they impact how we make decisions and how we live our life. Entire coaching programs have been formed to help people define success.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there are a lot of different definitions, and I guess we should just walk through what some of those definitions actually are. Aristotle, I think, said one time that success is the progressive realization of a worthwhile goal.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes success is viewed as making a certain amount of money.
Sure.
And other times it's about achieving a good work-life balance.
Yeah, and for those who believe that success is about accomplishing what God wants them to do in life,
mm-hmm.
the concept of vocation becomes central. And that's about discovering one's unique purpose and using their talents to serve others.
That's exactly right. And it is discouraging sometimes, I think, if we have a definition of success and life goes on and we're pursuing this definition and pursuing this definition, and all of a sudden we reach the point at some point in life where we decide that we had the wrong idea, because then we find that we like climbed the ladder and had the ladder propped up against the wrong wall.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's so. Success, though, you know, we would certainly say is making the most of what you have.
Absolutely,
making the most mm-hmm. of what you have. Success is, as you said, accomplishing what God wants you to do in this life. Some have even said success is living life your own way.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Kind of like the term financial freedom.
Financial freedom, that's right.
I heard someone say that he knows you made it when you can go to a restaurant and order anything on a menu not worried about what it costs. Not to live too lavishly, but just not to be worried and look at the dollar amount to decide what you're going to have.
That's right. So I guess then it would depend what restaurant.
Sure.
Right.
Whether it's Chili's or somewhere.
Or a local diner or whatever. That before inflation, right?
Oof.
Oh, yeah. Let's not talk about that.
I think we already
covered
that
in
the other
right.
episodes.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we advise clients regarding their investment portfolios, we've already said that we hear different definitions from people. Sometimes people will say, well, success is the ability to make money in my investment portfolio without any risk.
Mm. Okay. Yep.
Now, that's not very realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because no matter what you do, there's risk involved in everything.
Sure.
Some kind of risk.
Especially with investments.
That's right.
That can't be understated.
That's right. We should do a whole show just on different kinds of risk.
Oh, we could do that.
We could do that.
There's many different types of risk that we can go into.
That's right. If you'd like to hear us do a whole show on just risk, send us a note at radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com. Okay. I was very off track, very off script there. That's right. Well, sometimes though we hear success is beating the market.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that kind of definition is that there are many different markets.
Sure, that's true.
And you can actually define the market in different ways. And so it's difficult to know if you're actually being successful because what you're measuring against is not immediately defined.
Yeah, which market?
Which market? Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Success, sometimes we hear, is having enough money to know that I will have enough, that I won't run out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem with that kind of definition is that only God knows tomorrow. And so knowing that I'm never going to run out really assumes that I know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. And since I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, then a definition like that can easily lead me to just have this nagging sense of worry that no matter how hard I've worked,
Do I have enough?
I still don't have enough. That's right. So, success sometimes we hear is knowing that my investments reflect my values.
Yeah. We often, you know, on the investment side, I've noticed a growing trend toward impact investing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where investors seek to align their financial goals with their values. And this speaks to the idea that success isn't just about making money, but also about making a difference.
That's exactly right. And some of those stories that we've talked about are places where people have invested money to make a difference.
That's right.
That's exactly right. So in understanding success really comes into understanding how we manage our investments as well. And it makes an enormous difference in the kind of choices we make in that area of life. Sometimes then we find that we have desires which drive our definition of success, and our desires come into conflict with each other. For example, I want to beat the market and also know that I have investments that reflect my values.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that
how yeah
that
gets a little tricky.
That's right. Those two things may be the polar opposite of each other, depending on what your values are and how you define the market. So we need to recognize when there are conflicting definitions and make decisions about what is more important in the way that we define success.
Yes, and it's also interesting to consider how our definition of success can change over time.
Mm-hmm.
For example, someone in their 20s might prioritize career advancement, while someone in their 60s might focus more on leaving a legacy or spending time with family. Those are important to them at that point.
That's right. And it's really also, I think, important, like just what you said there, that, you know, spending time with family, like some things we gradually recognize the importance of these things as life goes on.
And I know you mentioned businesses earlier. You know, for business owners, defining success can be even more critical. It can help them set clear goals, mm-hmm. develop effective strategies, and measure their progress. You know, a business without a clear definition of success is like a ship without a rudder.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. And it's really, I mean, a business, it could be a nonprofit,
mm-hmm.
A charitable proposition like that. So understanding and defining success becomes so important. Understanding success forms a foundation from which we make decisions about investments, estate planning, charitable giving, the way we structure businesses and careers, and so much more.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, we are all out of time in this segment. We'll be back after the break to talk about some things that you can do to help identify success in your own life and in your wealth management. You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we are talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we're co-hosting here today. And today, the topic we're talking about is one that can make you or break you,
mm-hmm.
and that is your ability to define and understand what it means to be successful.
Yep, that's right.
This definition of success. And, you know, we've covered some of the challenges so far that people face and some of the problems in defining success and some of the problems that can happen when people don't understand what it means to be successful. So we want to share with you just a few thoughts about things that you can do to help define success in your own life.
And you always say, James, success needs to be smart.
It does need to be smart.
Mm-hmm.
And strangely, or coincidentally, we should say, SMART just happens to be a little acronym, right? So if you write this down, SMART, the S we'll say is all about being specific. So to understand what success means, you need to be specific.
Not broad objectives.
That's right. Somebody said once, if there's room to fudge, then you're not being specific. Or squishy, I guess.
Okay. Right. I haven't heard that one.
Right. It has to be specific. It needs to be measurable.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be able to measure.
So a metric of some sort.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you are making progress towards that specific idea of being successful. And then it needs to be achievable. So the likelihood of me, let's say, ever becoming the president of the United States is approximately zero. So
we'll give you a 0.0001.
Give me a 0.0001, right. But so if my idea of success is so far out there that it just doesn't seem realistic or achievable, then I can wind up just feeling totally like a failure, even though I may not be. So it needs to be achievable, it needs to be realistic, and it needs to be time-bound.
Mm-hmm.
So to say I need to be there in 6 months or 6 years or whatever, I have to set a time when whatever it is that I'm thinking about will be completed.
Mm-hmm. I think we skipped over one, the relevant part of the SMART goal. So it needs
realistic
to be aligned with overall objectives and priorities.
Oh, relevant?
Mm-hmm.
I actually said realistic.
Oh, okay.
Which also starts with R.
I thought you bundled that with the time bound. You said realistic and time bound.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
But SMART, SMART.
That's mm-hmm. right. It needs to be smart. Yeah. So they both started with an R. We'll slide both of them in there.
That's smart.
Smart. That's right. That's right. So, but a few questions to ask and answer, really. First, I would say, do you pray about your goals? And mm-hmm. when you're trying to decide what it means to be successful, do you pray about what that means? Success really should not grow out of just, say, envy or looking over the fence to see what everybody else is doing to see. One of the Ten Commandments specifically says, do not covet, right? Don't look around and just want what everybody else has.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, that's I like the Proverbs. It says, commit to the Lord whatever you do,
mm-hmm.
and he will establish your plan. And that suggests that seeking guidance can lead to greater success and fulfillment in your life.
That's right. So the question is, do you make success a matter of prayer? Psalms 19:14 also tells us, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God.
Hmm.
So, you know, we want these things that we're thinking about to be acceptable to God as well. And that goes at this idea of then having goals that are in sync with our values and convictions.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that at the opening of the show, and we do that every week in a kind of our opening comments and saying how important that is. So another question, do you write out your goals so that you have accountability? Something really powerful happens when you write things down.
It really does. And to further emphasize the importance of the SMART goals, there's a study by Dominican University that found people who wrote down their goals were 42% more likely to achieve them. It seems an act of putting pen to paper helps solidify our intentions and make them more actionable.
That's right. Although I will say, you know, early on, I have been in this business of being a financial advisor for over 30 years now, and I remember very early on in my career, this was in the early 90s, I would sit and write down all my goals, as many as I could think of. And this is so true. I was about 6 years into my career, and I found that I had achieved every goal that I wrote on that paper.
Mm-hmm.
The question was, now what?
You need new goals.
You need new goals. That's right. So, you know, don't be surprised about what happens if you're writing everything down and a few years later, you find that you need to revisit the project. Mm. So it's a good idea to come back. And what, after you've written down your goals, then you can do exactly that, which probably goes to that whole thing that it's more likely to achieve your goals when you write them down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a similar experience as well. It's powerful.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, the question of have you taken measurable action towards what you consider to be success? Are you actually doing what you say you think would be successful? Yes or no, right? The principle of knowing something and then believing it, but then doing something about it. If you never take action, then all the things that you've just said will never happen.
They're just thoughts and ideas.
That's right. It's impossible for that to ever happen. So, but some other questions to consider, really. One, is it possible, do you think, to be a success without achieving anything?
No, I don't. I think you would have to achieve what's important to you and what you set forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
In order for you to define that as a success for you.
Yeah, something is typically achieved.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next question, I suppose, is can you be a high achiever without being successful?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Yep, that's a good one. I mean, you can achieve many things in this life, but if they're not important to you, you might not feel like a success.
That's right. Or like, remember Jonah, the story of Jonah, right? I mean, Jonah successfully got on a boat and sailed the wrong direction. He was totally not successful.
It was successful until it wasn't.
Until it wasn't. That's exactly right. So you know, if what you're achieving as a high achiever is not where God wants you to be, or it's, you know, it's not where your conviction is, not where your heart's at, then again, it's like having that ladder propped against the wrong wall.
And I guess that's where the adage fits in: money can't buy happiness.
That's right.
High achievers.
That's right.
Still not good.
Yeah. And we see this in the world of investments too, where people say they have successful investments, the investments are making money, but you know what? They don't reflect our values.
Right.
And so, which kind of leads to another question. Is it possible to have a wildly successful investment portfolio without being successful? And probably the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
To that. Can you be happy without also being a success?
Happy without being a success? No, I don't believe you can.
No.
I think making progress towards your goals is what brings you happiness.
Mm-hmm. And especially if you understand that success, then as you live into that success and it becomes a reality, you find a level of fulfillment and satisfaction that comes from knowing that you are where you should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, success is not the key to happiness.
Mm.
Happiness is the key to success. If you love what you're doing, you will be successful. That's a quote that I like by Albert Schweitzer.
Albert Schweitzer, yeah.
And it reminds me that happiness and success are intertwined, and pursuing those passions can lead to both.
Yeah. So a couple of other really just soul-searching questions. Is happiness contingent on the size of your investment portfolio? Is the size of your investment portfolio what makes you successful? Does success hang on your investment performance?
Mm.
Yes or no? I mean, that would be a tough one because investments are never going to do well all the time.
Not right? all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, before time runs down, I'm sitting and looking at the clock, right? there are a few really specific things we want to note here. A couple of books. We referenced the book Success is Not an Accident. That's a book that's written by Tommy Newberry. And I think the publisher is Tyndale Publishers. And, you know, we don't get paid anything to reference this book. This is just an awesome book. It's made a big difference in my own life, and I'd really recommend it to you as well.
We just like sharing good resources with folks.
That's right. Success is Not an Accident by Tommy Newberry. A couple of weeks ago, we referenced a book titled Navigating Your Finances God's Way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd really recommend, again, that you if you go look that book up, and you can search for compassministries.org. I believe that's the web address. But Navigating Your Finances God's Way is a great book and a great study in exactly some of what we're talking about here. A couple of other just items to check off as we go. Making sure that when you think about your definition of success, that it is anchored in biblical truth. And we'll talk more about that in some other episodes coming up. But for now, I do think we're almost out of time, aren't we?
Yeah, unfortunately for today's show, we are out of time. You can join us next week, same time, same bat channel. Thank you so much for joining us today. Remember to send your answers to this week's puzzle to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com.
Have a blessed week, and we'll look forward to being here again next week.